I don't see you. I don't see you, too. I don't see you at all.
Miss the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you, Lord, for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your presence and power that is working great things in our lives and situations. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for your peace and joy that fills our hearts. Thank you for always answering our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for your name, which is above every other names. Thank you for how you are giving us victories. Great victories through your name. Thank you, Father. We thank you for every good opportunity you have sent into our lives so that we can prosper and succeed through those opportunities. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the plans you have for us. For we know they are good plans and not evil. They are plans to give us a glorious future. Thank you, Lord, for your plans for our lives. Thank you because you will bring your plans to pass in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the previous Healing Streams programs that we have had. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives through those programs. Thank you for taking away our diseases and captivities through these programs. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are here this morning once again to seek your face, to lean at your feet, and to pray. Oh Lord, visit us again this morning. In Jesus' name. Visit us in the greatness of your power. And touch every life. Manifest your power in our lives and give us the healings and deliverances and revival that we need at this time. in Jesus' name. Give us the restoration that we need at this time. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 20. Second Kings 20. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 11. Second Kings chapter 20 from verse 1 to 11. In those days was Ezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Ezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Isaiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boy. And he recovered. And Ezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord. But Lord, we do the thing that He has spoken. Shall the shadow go forth 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Isaiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you can see in this passage, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 11. You can see how Ezekiah fell sick, and God spoke to his prophet Isaiah to go and tell him that he will die, that the sickness will lead to his death. Now, I believe he must have sought for the prophet to come and tell him what will become of him in his sick condition. Yeah, I think we have seen a similar case too in the Bible. I think the kings of Israel, whenever they fall sick, they always want to know what will become of them, whether the sickness will go or the sickness would stay. Yeah, so I believe that was what Ezekiah also was trying to know. Yeah, though it was not written in this passage, but I'm sure that Ezekiah must have sent message to Isaiah and informed him that he's sick and wants to know what God is saying about his sickness. Yeah, and I'm sure they had tried all forms of treatment. Yeah, in those days, the kings used to have the best medical practitioners, the best physicians. Yeah, and those physicians used to live in the palace together with the king's family. Yeah, so I am sure they have tried every form of treatment they know, and none of them worked. Yeah, so the disease appears to be incurable. Yeah, and to make things worse, the prophet of God also came and said, this sickness shall take your life. Yeah, so that news alone is heartbreaking. Yeah, because the prophet of God should have come with a good news, But in this case, it came with a bad news, a very heartbreaking news. And that news moved Ezekiah into prayer. Yeah. There's a great lesson to learn in this place. And the first one is that your personal prayer life as a Christian is greater than any prophecy any man of God can give you. Your personal relationship with God, your personal commitment to God is more powerful than whatever any man of God can tell you. In fact, more powerful than whatever prayer any man of God can pray for you, or whatever prophecy any man of God can give you. Your own personal prayer life and personal relationship with God is the best prophecy, and is the best way to get God do great things for you. Yeah, but I don't know why many Christians today, they have neglected the place of personal prayers and fastings. Yeah, and many of them, they have lost their personal walk with God. Some of them, they can't even remember the last time God spoke to them. They can't remember the last time they spoke to God and received response from God. Yeah, they have no heart to seek after the Lord. They have no heart to please the Lord and to know the Lord and to be known by the Lord. Yeah. It is not enough to know the Lord. You also have to be known by the Lord. Yeah. There are people that God does not know. I believe you're aware of that. I believe you're aware of the fact that there are people that are not known by God, but they claim they know God, but God doesn't know them. And you're going to see Jesus talk about such people in Matthew chapter 7. Let us look at that place. So it is possible to know God and not be known by God. Matthew chapter 7. I read from verse 21. Matthew 7 from verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Yeah, I want to take note of that part where he said, He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Yeah, you can see Jesus said, not everyone that come unto him and say, Lord, Lord, as we do today, every time we pray, we say, Lord, we say, Father, we say, Jesus. Here, Jesus is saying, not everyone that call unto him will enter into his kingdom, but only those that does the will of his Father. The will of his Father, which is in heaven. So what that implies is that only the people that are doing the will of the Father will be known by the Father, will be known by Jesus. If you are not doing the will of the Father, he cannot know you. Yeah, and then you might be asking, what does Jesus meant by, I never knew you? Does that not contradict the understanding that God is omniscient? That God is omniscient? That he knows all things? Yeah, I want you to note that the kind of knowledge Jesus was talking about here is not mental knowledge, is not head knowledge. Yeah, this type of knowledge is a kind of relationship knowledge or intimacy knowledge. It's just like the way we say that boy had a carnal knowledge of that girl and got her pregnant. Yeah, just the way we say this boy had a carnal knowledge of that girl and got her pregnant. That is, they slept together and the girl got pregnant. Yeah, a kind of knowledge that is not just mental, a kind of intimacy knowledge. Yeah, a knowledge that happens because two people have been together intimately. Yeah, that's the kind of knowledge that Jesus was talking about in that verse 23. Yeah, so it is intimacy knowledge. A knowledge that happens as a result of closeness between a man and God. Yeah, and God gets to know that person. He in a close manner. Yeah. So it is possible for a man to claim to know God, and God is not known by that man. Yeah, that is, God only having a mental knowledge of him from a distance, from afar. God is not close to that man. God has not drawn himself to that man. And God has no relationship with that man. He has no intimacy with that man. Yeah, so that was what Jesus was talking about then. So he was saying that these people, they will tell him in the day of judgment. They would say, "We work miracles in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We prophesied in your name. Why would you say you don't? You know, why would you cast us out of your kingdom? Why would you say we cannot enter into your kingdom?" And Jesus would answer and said, "Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. I never knew you." Yeah, so it means he never had any personal relationship with them. He never had any intimate relationship with them. Yeah, because they never did his will. Yeah, they never did his will. So he never knew them. He never was close to them. Yeah, though he knows about them, but he doesn't know them. Yeah, so God will not be attracted by any man, or will not be attracted to any man that doesn't do his will. Yeah, you know, just the way a lady can look attractive, or a man can look attractive to the opposite sex, or a lady can look attractive to the opposite sex. The same way, the life of a man in the realm of the spirit can look attractive to God. So when you are pleasing God, you become attractive to God. And then God wants to come closer, to know more about your faith, to know more about you. Yeah, it's not like God doesn't know everything. But this type of knowledge is that God wants to know you intimately. He's going to forget, he's going to intentionally forget whatever he knows about you. And he will come to you to work with you and let you prove to him how much you really love him. Yeah. And then he wants to get to know you personally. God have knowledge of things that will happen even before they happen. But when it comes to intimacy, God is going to put all of those knowledge aside. And he wants you to really prove to him how much you love him. So he wants you to really demonstrate how much you care about him, how much you love him, and how much you are willing to obey him. Yeah. Like some people will say, they are confused. And they are confused because God already knows everything that will happen before they happen. Which means God knows people that will make heaven and people that will go to hell. And then they are confused because you know, those people said, what is the essence of trying to please God? If God already knows those that we make heaven and those that will go to hell. Yeah, so they began to think that what if they are among those that will go to hell? So that means no matter how hard they try to please God, they can't please God. So they will have to go to hell. So why not just why not just not bother to please God? Since they could be among those that God have already known to never make heaven. Yeah. Those people, they don't really know how the kingdom of God operates and how God himself operates. Yeah. You need to understand that the fact that God knows things that will happen before they happen doesn't mean he is the one that determines the happening of those things. It doesn't mean that he's the one that determines what will happen. You know, you can know what will happen, but yet you are not the one that is making it happen. I don't know if you are getting my point. You can know what is going to happen tomorrow, and then you have nothing to do with how it happened. You just know that it happened. Yeah, but you didn't do anything to make it happen. Yeah, so that is the kind of knowledge that God has concerning the eternal destiny of people. That is concerning who will go to heaven and who will go to hell. So it's not a knowledge like he already have chosen that certain number of people are the ones that can go to heaven, and then the rest cannot. The rest have to go to hell. No, that's not how God operates. So God only knows the future, but it's not everything in the future that he caused to happen. Yeah, so it is not everything in the future that he ordained to happen. Yeah, so many of the things that will happen as a result of the choices that people make themselves. Yeah, so this is why God don't follow that knowledge. He don't follow the knowledge that he have about all things, about the past, the past, the present, and the future. Yeah, God loves to follow the kind of knowledge we are talking about now. This intimacy knowledge. That is, he wants to come close to you and get to know you. So whatever he might know about you, God is going to put it aside. And he wants you to really prove to him that you really love him. Yeah, so how you will know if you are among those that are going to hell, or those that will make heaven. All you will know is through your own choice. That is all you will know. Through the way you handle your personal relationship with God, that is how you will know. So the matter of heaven and hell is not a matter of chance. Heaven and hell is not a matter of chance or luck. It's a matter of choice. So you will know if you actually belong to heaven or if you belong to hell by the choices you make by yourself. That's all you will know. So this is not about, and God already know I will not enter heaven, so let me just go and enjoy sin and die and go to hell. No. It's about you choosing where you want to go. As I said earlier, it is possible to claim that you know God, and yet God does not know you. And I have explained the type of knowledge that Jesus made when he said, "Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. I never knew you." I have explained what that type of knowledge is. Yeah. So it is not enough to know God. You have to be known by him. And how will you be known by him? It's also in that place we read in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. You will be known by him when you do his will. You'll be known by him when you do his will. When you please him. When you demonstrate how much you love him. Then he will know you. If you read other places in the Bible, you will see where God spoke of Abraham. And God said, "I know him." Yeah, so Abraham had a relationship with God, and God could say, "I know him." Yeah, it's just the way someone could tell a lie about your son or your daughter. Or tell a lie about your spouse. And then you can tell the person boldly and say, "No, my spouse can never do that. I know him or I know her." Or you can tell the person and say, "My child can never do that. My child can never say that because I know him. I know her." So that is the kind of knowledge Jesus was talking about there. So because of a long time of intimacy with Abraham, you already know what Abraham can do and what Abraham cannot do. Yeah. He's so sure of his life, of his lifestyle. So the question is God sure about you? Is God sure about your faith in him? About the so-called love you claim to have for him? Is God sure about that? Can God trust you? Can God boast about you in the face of his enemies, like he did concerning Job, and said, "This man will never deny me"? He was boasting about Job before Satan. I said, "This man will never deny me or turn away from me. No matter what he goes through, can God say the same thing about you? Can God trust you? Does he know you? Have you really proven to him that you are a faithful servant and that you are an obedient son or daughter? Have you proven to God? Have you proved that to God? Yeah, so don't just say that you know God. Yeah, don't just open your mouth and say that you know God. Walk towards God knowing you. Walk towards being known by him. And we already know how to do that. I mean, how to make him know you, or how to be known by him, which is the same as saying how to attract him to you. We already know that. And that is by doing the will of God, by doing his will, by pleasing him. That is how he will be attracted to you. Yeah, because God is seated in heaven and he's watching everyone. He's watching those whose hearts long for him. Yeah, he's seated far above the earth, very high on his throne in heaven. He's seated right there, and every second he's checking the hearts of people. You know, it's not difficult for him to check what is in the hearts of everyone in less than a second. It's not difficult for God to check that. Yeah, even though there are billions of people in the world, yeah, God has the capacity to check that. So God is sitting on his throne in heaven and he's checking the hearts of the billions of people in the earth. And he's looking for people that have what he's looking for. He's looking for people whose hearts are attractive. People with hearts that hungers for him. People with hearts that wants to please him at all time. People with hearts that loves him. Yeah, so, and he will be attracted to those people. So God knows whether you care about him or not. He knows. You cannot fake it. He knows whether you love him or not. You cannot fake it. You can't. You might fake it to another man. But you cannot fake that to God. Because he searches deep into the hearts of men. So he knows what, if you meant whatever you say in his presence, in your prayers. He knows if you meant them. And he knows if, you know, why you don't mean them. Yeah, so when your heart is really right in his sight, and when your heart loves him, and then when your life pleases him, you become attractive to him, and then he comes closer, and then he wants to know you. Yeah, he wants to know more about you. So it feels like, oh, I can see that beautiful heart. Let me get closer. Let me know this person more. Yeah. So as he is seated on the throne, he's watching everyone, watching your thoughts, watching your decisions, your choices, your imaginations. And if he sees that you have the type of heart like he, like himself, he will draw closer because he wants to know more about you. I pray that you will have the kind of heart that God is looking for at this time. In Jesus' name. Yeah. He's looking for that heart that is pure. He's looking for that heart that loves him so much. He's looking for that heart that is willing to do his commandments. Always. Yeah, not a heart that is giving excuses for not doing his commandments. Yeah, so once he finds such heart, immediately he draws close to that person. So you can see from that Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, that knowing God is not the same, or maybe I should say, being known by God is not the same as being used by God. I believe you can see that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Being known by God is not the same as being used by God. So today God is using many people, but he doesn't know them. Yeah. And if God doesn't know you, it means you also doesn't know him. Yeah. Because in Psalm 18, because of time I will not, but you can go and check later. I will not open that place. In Psalm 18, some of the verses there, you will see God saying to the faithful, or you see the psalmist saying, you know, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the pure, you show yourself pure. Yeah. So if God is not known by you, you cannot know him. That is, if you don't have the kind of heart that attracts God closer, you cannot know God. Whatever thing you claim you know is not him. Or is not, you know, is not intimacy. Yeah. To the faithful, he will show himself faithful. To the pure, he will show himself pure. So if you are not pure, you are not faithful, God will not show himself to you as he is. And God will lie to you many times. He will deceive you many times. Because even you are deceptive. You are an hypocrite. You are a pretender. So God Himself will also deceive you. He will also lie to you. Because you are lying to Him. Yeah. So, to be known by Him, yeah, is to have the kind of heart that He has. Yeah. So I know there are a lot of people, they claim they have received powerful revelations from God. And sometimes when I listen to them, I just laugh. Yeah, because they don't know Him. And He doesn't know them. Because if they know Him, they will know that whatever spirit revealed those things to them wasn't from God. If they know God, they will know that the revelations, the visions, the God was from another spirit and not from God. Yeah, but the spirit will make it look like it was from God. So if we are not doing the will of God, we will not be known by God. And if we are not known by Him, we cannot know Him. Yeah, because you can't know anything about God if He doesn't reveal Himself to you. Yeah, if He doesn't reveal Himself to you, you can't know anything about Him. Yeah. Of course, you can know some things, like the Bible contains a lot of its knowledge. But when it comes to deep things, you can never know those deep things. So my point is that Ezekiah has a very real personal relationship with God. And my point is also that relationship was more powerful than the prophecy of the prophet. The relationship he had with God was more powerful than whatever Isaiah came to tell him. Let us look at that place again in 2 Kings chapter 20. Second Kings 20. Yeah. Let me read verse 2 and 3. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Ezekiah wept sore. Yeah, how many people can boldly say that? So this man had a real personal relationship with God. He had a real prayer connection with God. Yeah. He turned to God and said, God, remember how I have walked with you with a perfect heart. Now, how I have done what is right in your sight. Yeah, though the prophet came with, you know, with a negative news. Yeah, but he knows the one who called the prophet. He knows the one who created the heavens and the earth. He knows the one who created life itself and all living things. He has a personal relationship with that one. There's a lot of Christians today that they have no personal relationship with God. They don't even know. They don't even know how God feels about them. Yeah, they don't know whether they are doing the will of God or they are not, because their hearts never loved God. So they are just so far from God. And yet they are going from one church to another, from one man of God to another, asking for prayers, asking for prophecies. But they never had a real personal walk with God. So they cannot talk to God and talk to him with boldness like the way Ezekiah did. Because they know that their hands are not clean. They know how wicked they are. They know how evil, how unrighteous they are. Yeah. They know how many times they have failed God and disobeyed his instructions deliberately. Yeah, so they are so ashamed to even go to God. Yeah, because they know that they never loved God and they never want him. But yet they want his powers. They want his touch. They want his interventions. Yeah. It's not like nobody can go to God. Anyone can go to God. But with what kind of heart? Is it with a repentant heart or with a hardened heart? Yeah, you can't go to God with a hardened heart. Those people know. I mean, people with a hardened heart, they know they can go to God. They know that God demands that they repent. And since they are not ready to repent, so they don't even want to go to God. Go to God and tell him anything. Yeah, but they would like to go to many men of God and ask for prayers and ask for prophecies. Foolish people. Yeah, hypocrites and deceivers. I pray you are not like that. Yeah, so Ezekiah knew God, and not only that, God also knew him. Yeah, because he served God with a perfect heart. I pray we serve God with a perfect heart. Yeah. So there is something greater than signs and wonders. There is something greater than prophecy and miracles and healing. and deliverance. And I have showed you that thing right here, right now. And you have just seen it in this passage, 2 Kings chapter 20. You have just seen what is greater than miracles, than signs and wonders, than healings, and even than the anointing of on the most anointed men of God in the world. There is something greater, and that is your personal walk with God is greater than any sign and wonder. Is greater than any anointed man of God, or is greater than the highest anointing on any man of God. Your personal walk with God is greater than every form of miracle. Yeah, in fact, it controls the miracles. Yeah, I pray that God will give you wisdom to know these things and to accept it. I pray that you will understand these things. Yeah, because in this passage, the man of God already came and gave the prophecy that Isaiah would die in his sickness. And then Isaiah turned to God. That is personal prayer life, personal relationship with God. And then God went back to the prophet. I said, go back and tell him that he will not die anymore, that he will now live longer. And even God gave him a sign to prove that. So which is the greater? Which one is greater? The healing power, the healing anointing, or the anointing on the man of God? Which one is greater? Is it not your personal walk with God? Is that not the one that is greater? You see, what any anointing will do for you is proportional to how your personal walk with God is. Don't let any ministry or minister or preacher deceive you. Don't let any church deceive you. You see, these standards, they are eternal standards. These biblical standards, they are eternal. They are timeless. So nothing can change them. No preacher can come up today and say, I want to do my own ministry in a different way. That is not like the Bible way. And then God will now say, because I love this minister, or I love this ministry, so let me amend, let me adjust my standard. No. Yeah, God doesn't lower his standard because of anyone. So don't let anybody deceive you. Yeah, because many preachers today, they want you to depend on them. When you need help, you need healing, you need deliverance, they want you to look at them, to depend on their anointing, on their power. So that is why every time they try to show how much how much anointing they have, in every service, in every church service, in every program, they want to prove how anointed, how much anointing they have, how much they can see into the spirit realm, how much they can expel devils, how much they can heal the sick. Yeah, they want to keep showing that because they want the people to keep depending on them, you know, to feed their pride. Yeah, but I don't do that. Even up to now, many of you here don't even know how much spiritual gift I have and how much spiritual abilities, supernatural abilities I have. Yeah, and it's because that is not my mission. Yeah, my mission is not to feel myself or to feel what I can do. That is spiritual pride. My mission is to help you have this thing that is the most important. This thing that Ezekiah had. My mission is to help you have this personal walk with God that is real and genuine. That is why God has called me. And that is why I'm here teaching you these things. Yeah. And that is why you need to believe everything I tell you, because some of these things you might not hear it in any way. You might not hear it in any church or ministry. Yeah, because you are hearing this from someone that cares about your soul and about your eternal life. Yeah, and you should believe me when I correct you on many things. And you believe the Bible, not just me, believe the Bible, because this is the Bible. This is the Bible standard. Yeah, so as I said earlier, the anointing on any preacher is going to work for you in proportion to your personal walk with God. I know people that they keep moving from one church to another church, from one prayer mountain to another prayer mountain, from one man of God to another man of God. And up to now, I mean, they have been through many churches, including the churches you watch on TV. You know, including those churches that they work many miracles, and you see them on TV. I mean, you see different testimonies of different healings and deliverances. These people, they have been through all those churches, and yet their problems remained. Now, there's a reason why God used to lead those people to me. Because you want me to tell them the truth. Yeah. These people, they have been through different men of God. They even traveled to other places. Anytime they see the news, they hear about a new man of God that is operating in power, operating in prophecy, operating in this and that. I can do this, can do that. And heal cancer, heal this. They run to that place, travel to that place. So they've been through different places, looking for solutions. And up to now, as I'm talking to you, their problems remained. Why? Because they are neglecting the most important thing, which is what I'm telling you right now. The place of your personal walk with God. They don't know that that place determines whatever they will get in any prayer meeting. They don't know that that place determines what the anointing on any man of God will do in their lives. So they don't know that it is the same God they are running to meet in those prayer programs that is also in their room waiting to be sought by them. Yeah, they don't know. Or do you think it's not the same God? The same God in your room right now, or the same God with you right now, right there where you are, that is expecting you to draw closer to him? Don't you think it's that same God that is here now? And in any church, I mean, though, any true church, anyway, yeah, because there are false churches. Is that same God that is in any true church working miracles? So if you have no personal relationship with that God, and then you come to the service, you want to get a blessing from that God, you might get nothing. Yeah. So let us copy this lifestyle of Hezekiah. Yeah, so people, God wants them to learn faith and that was why he decided not to take away the sickness in their bodies, because he wanted them to learn faith and to learn to trust him before he would now do that. But they were not willing to allow God to teach them faith. Yeah. They were restless. And they keep moving from one place to another. I need healing. But God is saying, calm down. I will heal you. Calm down. Be patient. I will heal you. Learn faith first. Learn faith from me. Learn warfare. Some people, God want to use the problem in their lives to teach them warfare. Yeah. So that as they do warfare, he will be taking that problem away gradually. As they do more spiritual warfare, he will be taking the problems away gradually. But these people, they don't want to pray. They don't want to learn spiritual warfare. They don't want to learn to have faith. They don't want to learn to trust God. Yeah, and then they keep moving from one place to another. And then they went into depression. And they keep thinking, oh, God has forgotten me. Oh, God is not doing this. God is not doing that. Yeah. I pray you may not be like those people. Yeah. There are people that they have, you know, a very close walk with God to the point that they even know when they will be healed. They have a very close walk with God, and they also have a problem in their bodies, and they know when that problem will be taken away by God, because God has told them when he will heal them. Yeah, and some people, they even know that. I mean, some people, they might not know the date, but whenever they are in that time, they will know that this is the time that God is going to heal me. Yeah, they will just know. Some people, they will just know that God is going to heal me in this particular program. Yeah, so I have to be part of this program. Some people, they just know that God is going to do the things they have been asking Him to do. And they don't bother themselves about those things. Because they just know, because they have a strong personal relationship with God. Some of them, they don't even pray about those things again. Because they just know that it will happen, that God will do it in His time. Yeah. So your personal relationship with God is more powerful than any spiritual gift or any miracle or any anointing that works miracle. I pray that you will correct yourself before it's too late. Yeah, I pray you will repent. You will correct yourself concerning these things before it's too late. In Jesus' name. We saw that eventually Ezekiah's illness disappeared. And he was given more years to live. Yeah, so it is not a hard thing for God to take away your problem. It is too simple and too easy. You know, as someone who have experienced a lot of miracles, both in my own life and in the lives of people. I mean, I've seen miracles happen to people. I can tell you that it is too easy for God to do miracles. It is too easy. Too easy. You can name that sickness or the disease, even the worst type, it is too easy for God to remove it. Through Him. I mean, through Him. Yeah. And it is also too easy for God to heal many people at the same time. Yeah, it is too easy for Him to heal millions or billions of people at once. It is too easy for Him. But do you know why He doesn't do that? Because there is something more important than that. And that is the place of relationship. So God desires that everyone will come close to Him, to know Him, to be like Him, that everyone will please Him. God desires that more than to heal people. And in fact, whenever He heals people, it's because He wants many to come to Him, to trust Him, to believe Him, to follow Him, to love Him, to please Him, to serve Him. Yeah, that is why He does the miracles. So to God, that is more important than the miracles. Yeah, that is more important. Yeah, before I used to think it's hard for God to do many miracles at the same time. Yeah, I used to feel like maybe it takes God some very complex process to carry out some miracles. And that is why some people have to wait and wait before they get their miracles. Yeah, or some people have to pray and pray and pray and pray. Before, I used to think like that. But when I got to know Him more, I realized that it's not like that. Yeah. Like that, I realized that there's actually two His for God to do any type of miracle. Yeah. But the reason why He doesn't do them, even though it's so easy, the reason why He doesn't do miracles according to how easy it is for Him. Yeah, I don't know if you are getting me. The reason why God doesn't do miracles according to how easy, how simple it is to Him is because He values this thing we are talking about today more than the miracles. And if you keep running away from this thing, you might never get any miracles in your life till you die. If you keep running away from personal spiritual growth, personal spiritual maturity, personal spiritual strength, you might never experience any real miracle in your life till you die. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. So stop chasing what you might never catch. Chase the one you will catch. Chase the one that is already waiting for you to be caught by you. Chase after external walk with God. Now from your personal place of prayer, you can determine what will happen to you in the public space. As you round off this teaching, let us look at what Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 6 about prayer. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 5 to 6. Matthew chapter 6, 5 to 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Yeah, you can see that. Jesus said, pray to your Father in the secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Yeah, so Ezekiah talked to God secretly. In fact, the prophet have left him. And God, who is in secret and who sees things in the secret, went to the prophet again and told him to return and reverse the prophecy. Yeah. So if you have a good secret place with God, you'll be able to determine what God will do for you in the public space. Yeah, if you have a good secret place with God, you'll be able to determine what God will do for you in the public space. So I'm going to stop here. And some of you claim to have a prayer life, but is that prayer life, it's so weak, it's not effective, because something is still wrong with your heart. Some people claim to pray to a God they don't even trust. They pray to a God they don't even believe. Yeah, they pray to a God they don't love. Yeah, so the state of your heart will also determine how effective your prayer life or personal relationship with God would be. These people pray to a God they don't honor and obey. They pray to a God they don't fear. And that is why they hardly even receive anything from God. They hardly hear from God. They hardly get any direction or instruction from Him. Because their heart towards God is wrong. I hope you are not like that. So we are going to pray. We are going to talk to God. We are going to say, Father, help me to value my personal walk with you above everything else. Open your mouth and pray like that. Say, Father, help me to value my personal walk with you above everything else. Continue to pray like that. Say, Father, help me to value my personal walk with you above everything else. Above everything in this world. Help me to have consistency in my personal walk with you. There are some people, they are on and off. Today, they love God. Tomorrow, they don't. Today they pray very well, tomorrow they don't. That is not how to walk with God. Today they trust God, tomorrow they don't. That is not how to walk with God. Stephana, help me to have consistency. Help me to have dedication, consecration, and commitment in my personal walk with you. Help me to cherish this more than anything in this world. Help me, Father, to prefer obeying you, pleasing you, serving you, knowing you. To prefer that above every other thing else. Help me to do this, Father. Help me to do this with the whole of my heart. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We are still going to pray. In the case of Hezekiah, he trusted God even in the seriousness of his health condition. He trusted God. A lot of people today, a lot of Christians today, they have lost faith in God because their situation became very serious and they seem not to get response from God or instant healing from God. So they lost faith in God. But Hezekiah did not. If he lost faith, he would not invite the prophet. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, help me to never lose faith in your power. No matter how hard my situations get, no matter how worse my situations get or become, Father, help me to never lose faith in you. Open your mouth and pray like that. Even after he got the bad news, Hezekiah still believed in God. He still trusted in God. Even after he got the bad news from one of the most respected prophets of that time, he still believed in God. Ask God to help you. Say, Father, help me to never lose faith in you, irrespective of whatever I go through in this life. Help me to never lose trust in you. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Help me to allow my worst situations to draw me closer to you and to strengthen my faith and not to do the opposite. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Now, the last prayer point. I want you to understand this. That sometimes God Himself decides to make things worse for you. To challenge your faith and trust in Him. To see how far your faith and trust in Him can go. Yeah, sometimes God Himself will intentionally make things worse for you. Yeah, but many people, they fail those tests. They break down and began to cry. Why does God hate me this much? And they begin to murmur, they begin to complain. They begin to say, all these years I've been serving God. All these years I've been faithful. All these years I've been pleasing God. Is this how God is going to repay me? Why is God so wicked towards me? Why is God treating me this way? And they began to question God. And they began to complain and to murmur. Yeah. Ezekiah wept, but not the type of weeping many people are weeping today. Yeah. And that type of tears is not, you know, is the right type of tears. Yeah, because if that tears was rooted in his love for God and his trust in God. That tears is not rooted in emotional breakdown, in discouragement. Yeah, I hope you are not shedding the kind of tears that cannot move God. There are tears that can never move God. If you cry from morning till evening, or you cry for a whole month, there are tears that can never move God. But there are tears that moves God. Especially tears that are rooted in how much you love God, how much you trust Him. Yeah. And also tears that are rooted in how much you are sorry for the things you have done against God. Those type of tears will move God. Not all these emotional tears that has nothing to do with faith and trust and love. Yeah, so you are going to pray. If it's said, Father, help me to stand strong in faith, even when my situation becomes too unbearable. So, Father, help me to stand strong in faith, even when I go through fire. Help me to stand strong in faith. Help me to wait for your visitation. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Say, Father, help me to stand strong in faith. Even when my situation becomes too difficult and too painful to be in. Help me to still stand strong in faith and confidence in you and wait till you visit me. Help me, Father. Help me to remain humble even when my situation seems to have gone out of hand. Even when it looks like all hope is lost. Even when the devil is moving me to talk negatively against you. Father, help me to remain strong in faith. Even when the devil is moving me to start to complain and to murmur against you. Oh Lord, help me to stand strong in faith in the name of Jesus. Help me to wait for your visitation. In the name of Jesus. Then, Father, help me to wait till you come and change my story. Help me to wait till you come and change my story. Help me, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We're going to stop here now. I'm going to pray for you now and on your water. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we praise and adore you for who you are. We worship you. For you are a great God. You reign from everlasting to everlasting. You do great and mighty works. You make impossible things possible. You reverse irreversible things. You bring things out of nothing. We praise you, everlasting Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful, Lord, because you care so much for us. We thank you because there is nothing you cannot do for us. For you love us so much. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that you draw yourself closer to as many here who shall begin to pursue after a strong personal relationship with you. Oh Lord, as they pursue after you in their secret places. Oh Lord, draw closer to them in the name of Jesus. Father, draw closer to your people in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, that you give everyone here strength, revival, to have consistency in their relationship with you. I ask, O Lord, that you put an end to lukewarmness, to on and off Christian living. I ask that you put an end to rising and falling type of Christianity in their lives. Father, do so right now in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, as you visited Ezekiah through the prophetic ministration of Isaiah, I ask, oh Lord, that you also visit everyone here right now. In Jesus' name. Isaiah was instructed by you to take some leaves and apply on the boil of Ezekiah for him to recover. And he recovered eventually. In the same way, you have instructed us to always present some water unto you every time we have this meeting, so that you can use the water to work in our lives. Therefore, I ask, O Lord, that you do powerful operations through the water your people have brought to you right now. Oh Lord, use this water as instruments of healing and deliverance and restoration and recovery in the lives of everyone right now in Jesus' name. Let your power flow through this water. Let your fire flow through this water. Let your healing anointing manifest through this water. In the name of Jesus, let anyone that will drink from this water or use it on themselves, receive instant touch from you, instant deliverance from you, instant help from you, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.